Good morning to you all. It would appear that we have arrived at a time that is something more than 60 years into the great resurrection of the vast majority of mankind. Various estimates of the total number of all who have ever lived the human life vary, but some estimates arrive at a figure of about 20 billion people. That would make the architects of the Georgia Guidestones somewhat incredulous, since they seem to believe that the Earth's population should be no more than 500 million. In the mid-20th century, the Earth's population had exceeded 7.5 billion, which appeared to be excessive owing to the fact that the Earth's resources had been abused and depleted almost beyond recovery. In fact, there are some parts of the world where you would think that it has actually gone beyond the point of no return, particularly in the Amazonian rainforest. So perhaps we are allowed to speculate about the scene in which we find ourselves when this tremendous resurrection occurs. So we shall begin to picture this wondrous event. During the last 1,000 years since our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ had returned to this earth in power and glory, the earth had undergone a period of reconstruction and redevelopment that had given this planet the natural resources and the ability to sustain the mammoth population which was just resurrecting. The land had been properly farmed, as Mr. Henderson had already mentioned during this feast, with the sabbatical years and the years of release being implemented. The land had been properly farmed, and the laws of God had been properly implemented, and the harvests had become those of superabundance, and the vast storehouses had been prepared to provide for the expected resurrection so that those could be fed as when they had been resurrected, until such time as they could start bringing in their own harvests. As you may have guessed, I would like to set the scene for this last great day. This is because we will all have a part to play during those years that lead to the great white throne judgment. I suspect that many of you have already turned to Ezekiel chapter 37. This is where the great resurrection is described by the prophet Ezekiel. The picture that these words conjure up does make one wonder and begin to realize not only the power of God, but also to recognize the incredible mercy of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, proving beyond doubt that God really does love all people. In the 21st century, the picture was truly breathtaking, but as time gave way during the millennium, we had personally experienced God's mercy to us when we were changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at our Saviour's return. And we were now able to understand what was unfolding before our eyes. In Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1, we read the following. The hand of the Eternal was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Eternal, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord Eternal, you know. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus saith the Lord Eternal unto those bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I spoke, And there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone unto bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord Eternal, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord Eternal, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you unto the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Eternal, when I have opened your graves, O my people, brought you up out of your graves. And then verse 14, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and there shall you know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Eternal. Having set this scene in the Valley of Dry Bones, some of us may remember the old Negro spiritual, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Anyway, we have countless millions of people, all in need of reassurance, in need of help, in need of food and feeding. Hence, those storehouses prepared for us during the last days of the millennium. In passing, I'll have to make sure that my paternal grandparents are not within 100 yards of each other, otherwise we'll have another war on our hands. Come to that. We shall all have to be kept very busy ensuring that former enemies are not too close to each other as well. Because many people died in hand-to-hand combat, and I'm sure that the last memory may very well be somewhat clear in their memories. Now, beginning the task of teaching this multitude, Isaiah tells us in chapter 65 and verse 20 that God has allotted 100 years or so for this task. We may very well have a supervisory role in this task, because those that we taught during the millennium could well be there assisting in the teaching of God's ways to all those resurrected at this time, which is pictured by this day. So here in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20, we find these words. Verse 20. There shall be no more an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. There shall no more be an infant of days, as I said, and the indication is that this period of time will be 100 years. So all those who ever lived will be resurrected into an environment that has been restored and revitalized, a world that has been specially prepared for them, a world that would yield every good and pleasant thing for them, bumper harvests, a world where there's no more evil external influences or thoughts being pumped out and into their minds. This is because Satan will have been restrained, and everything that he tries to create will be burned up before him. Even the heart in each and every one will be changed. Returning to the book of Ezekiel, this time to chapter 11, in this passage we are told that a more outgoing and considerate nature will be granted to each person restored to life on this day. The ability to understand the needs and desires of others will be something that each person will consider. Here in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19, we find these words, And although I am breaking into the context here, I think these words are really applicable. So, Ezekiel 11, verse 19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God." One of the major problems that has always been, is the willingness of mankind that's been without God's Holy Spirit to guide them, is to do its own thing. No longer guided and directed by Satan's influences or thoughts, the vast majority of humanity will be willing to look after others when the opportunity arises, or even to look to the needs of others when they see their own abundance. No longer having a stony heart will lead to a more generous outlook, a more inclusive approach to others, and a more inclusive approach to family, to friends, and to neighbours. Then there is a promise from God found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. There has been this huge resurrection of vast numbers of humanity. They will have been given this period of time to live in relative luxury with a superabundance of their daily needs. Additionally, their stony heart will have been replaced by a heart that is prepared to look after the neighbour, prepared to look after friends and family member, not putting the self first at the drop of a hat. And so we find the promise of God in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Eternal, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them from the land of it by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Eternal. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Eternal. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more that every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Eternal, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." I hope that I brought a picture of this day, which is more than half over at this point of time. This is going to occur in just a little more than 1,000 years from the close of 2015. It's as sure as the rising of tomorrow's sun. It is a promise of God. And we will see and be there to see the whole scene played out from beginning to end. "And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and God shall make his abode with man." We shall witness those being resurrected, being taught the way of life for 100 years. We will see the effect of them being given a heart of flesh. We will see them benefiting from the everlasting love of God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are going to see this fantastic resurrection and its results. All this is something Mr. Pippi called the greatest generation has to look forward to. And since 1,000 years is the day to God, it is very, very close now. This is the picture, so we must keep this vision of the future, which is already very firmly in our minds, really before our eyes. And in the inimitable words of Mr. Armstrong, which are found in the closing passage of his book, The Mystery of the Ages, "Finally, we come to the beginning."